If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, gamers everywhere. Thank you for listening to the Multiplayer Gaming Podcast. We are three dads with day jobs who love to talk about gaming. On Thursdays like today, we break down our favorite news stories over the last 7 days, bringing you all up to speed. Please make sure to rate our show 5 stars and leave a written review if your podcast app allows. And please also think about supporting our show. You can tip your favorite podcasters and get bonus Squadcast episodes twice a month, starting at $5. Just head on over to multiplayersquad.com. I am your host, Paul. And joining me, he has to work his way back to the village of his nightmares, this time as a new playable character. It's Josh.
Is it a village of idiots, Paul? Because that's where I belong.
Those are your people.
Those are my people, man. Let's go. That village knows how to have a good time, though.
Very nice. And joining us, he has to journey to the town of Silent Hill because he's been receiving letters from his dead wife saying that she's there. It's Michael.
From what I know about Silent Hill, it is not silent there. It might be a hill, but it's still terrifying and not silent at all. Actually, it's silent until you hear the sound of my screams, which will be plenty.
Also, very nice. I get a village full of fun people. Michael gets terror. You lost that one.
I don't want to say that Paul plays favorites here, but it is possible that he put us in different scenarios because he simply likes you more. Or your beard is very threatening, and if he put your beard there, it'd be very scary for everyone else.
I don't know that I agree with Josh classifying the people in Resident Evil Village as fun. I might disagree with that.
Lady Demetresc, Paul. I'll say no more.
Sure. Oh, man.
Take that, buddy.
Sure. You can take... What's her name? Alcinda? Alcinda Demetresc, I believe.
The daughters, too?
Yeah. Sure. There you go. Got some people to ask out to dinner. All right. So apparently, since we're in the month of October, we have Halloween upon us. I guess it was just time for all of the Japanese horror franchises to hold showcases. We had back-to-back here this week. We had Capcom highlighting Resident Evil, and we also had Konami highlighting Silent Hill. We got a bunch of announcements. We got some video footage. No shortage to talk about here today. Let's start with Resident Evil, if that works for you guys.
Let's do it.
Now, I know Josh and I really loved Resident Evil Village. I believe we both said that would have been our winner for the Game Awards 2021.
It was great.
Yeah, we really loved Resident Evil Village. Michael, I think you have seen the first Resident Evil movie, but have not played any of the games. Is that right?
I know who Mia Jovovich is, and I know that
she's made nine of them.
Her husband made them. One of the Andersons, I think. I can't remember. But
well, wait a minute. Which husband? Because doesn't she switch husbands based on who's producing the movie that she's in?
Yeah, it's Luc Besson that week, and then
Yeah,
Paul Wes Anderson, Paul Wesley Anderson. Move on.
Yeah. So Resident Evil, so much to talk about. I don't know if you guys care where we start. Let's start with Shadows of Rose. So this is the name of an upcoming expansion to Resident Evil Village. Josh, you and I played through it. We thought it was fantastic. I know that we said we'd be highly interested in any kind of DLC. What did you guys think about this upcoming expansion? There's kind of a lot to talk about here.
I'm all for more Resident Evil Village, to be honest with you, except for Reverse, which I know we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Sure.
But, you know, I had not played a Resident Evil game in quite some time when we covered Village. I had dabbled in 7 a little bit and then just petered out for whatever reason. Some of the game came out that got my attention. I was very happy with the way Resident Village Evil played out there. That's, yeah. Michael, you're rubbing off on me, man.
I didn't do it. I'm miles away from you right now.
Yeah. So, you know, that game was a pleasant surprise. And if they're adding DLC to that and they're staying in that world and they're staying with that quality of game and the high caliber, I'm all for it.
So, interestingly enough, in this expansion, you are playing as Ethan's daughter, Rose. And so, of course, you play as Ethan Winters in Village. Now we have a little bit of a time jump because Rose is now 16 years old. And by the way, apparently she has magical powers. We see her having like her hands glow up and she's able to like blow things up in Resident Evil Village. But she's not happy that she has these powers. So the entire story of Shadows of Rose is her returning to the village where Ethan fought for his family, and she is searching for a way to lose her powers. So we see a lot of the same characters returning. We see the Duke, who is the shopkeeper. We see Lady Dimitrescu. We see all of that going on. And also, interestingly enough, they are adding a third person mode as well. So you can actually play in either first person or third person mode. And they're also bringing third person mode to the base game. So they're actually adding a lot of content here.
That's the part that I was really scratching my head about, is if this game, from what I understand, this game's always been first person, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first person.
And then they're just adding in the expansion where you can play it third person. Can you play third person the rest of the game too? Because that's kind of what I got, is they add the third person to the whole rest of the game if you do this expansion. That's a really interesting thing. I can't say that I've ever heard of something like that happening before. And what are the benefits to this? Like, why do this? Just to add more... I don't know, just to change it up a little bit, add more dynamics to the game. What do you? I have no idea. Like, why would they do this?
So I watched the full showcase. I don't know if you guys only watched the highlights or not. I don't know if this is really a major concern, but they said that there might be some people who feel too scared in first person perspective.
Come on.
Or they might have motion sickness. So they decided to add in third person mode, which should alleviate some of that. I don't know. There must have been people asking for them to add it. That's the only thing I can imagine.
I mean, the graphics in Resident Evil Village were really good. And I play it on a pretty big TV. I don't get motion sick from that game because it's not VR, but I do think I could see how somebody could maybe be uncomfortable in that regard, or if you're playing on like an 85-inch TV on a console or something like that, maybe. I mean, accessibility options are great. I'm going to play it in first person, you know, myself. But it's, you know, as long as it's not taking away from them developing story or other stuff, then, you know, if you're making your game more accessible to people, then kudos.
Now, that makes a lot of sense, actually, because if you think about it, like, we saw this resurgence in Cyberpunk, right, with the new expansion just being announced. Everyone's like, oh, I haven't checked that game out. I heard it's good now. If you say a game that a lot of people don't like first person, maybe people tried to play it and they couldn't play it because it was first person, it made them nauseated or something like that. Oh, well, now we can get a whole lot more player base to not only buy this expansion, but buy the original game. I guess the P&L department probably just looked at it and said, if we do this, it will cost us this much, but we'll sell this many more games. So that's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Do you guys have a strong preference? Do you normally prefer first person or third person?
I was just about to ask that question, Paul. No lie, because Michael brought up the Cyberpunk thing. And I remember when they said Cyberpunk's going to be first person, half the internet lost their minds. And they were like, oh, I can't believe it's going to be first person. Worst decision ever. Like, dude, I don't care what you do. If it's first person, third person, I don't, like, as long as you make a great game, I could care less.
100%. That's my feeling too, is it really depends on the game. I've never thought about that. Like when CD Projekt Red said we were going first person and everything I'd played by them, which was only the Witcher games, was third person, I'm like, this is cool. Okay. I did not care at all. I had no preference.
I certainly like them both. I think generally speaking, if you are playing a set written character like Commander Shepard or Geralt of Rivia, those I think do tend to play better third person because you get to see that character that you're playing. If you go through character creation and all that, I think that lends better to first person for the immersion. So it's almost like immersion versus having an avatar in the world. But I certainly love both. I love when games give you the option just to scroll your mouse wheel and hop between them both.
Oh, yeah.
You can play like GTA 5 and stuff, and you can just swap in and out. And I think that's always great.
But the only time good at that.
Yeah. The only time I'm anti one of them is third person perspective in games like PUBG, where you can literally see people running around.
I was going to say, it does lead an advantage sometimes. Isn't Modern Warfare 2 have that option? And people were complaining about that.
Oh, does it? I could be wrong on that,
but I think there's some shooter where it's like it offers a third person view and people were like, yeah, well, this is dumb because that's unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anybody can do it. So why is it unfair?
Yeah, but then everybody's playing in third person at that point. It's not a first person shooter anymore.
The only time that I really did have an issue with it was probably Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice in VR. I was like, how is this going to work in third person? And somehow they pulled it off. But that was the only time that I was like, ooh, no third person.
Yeah, VR third person's a little tricky, but they did do a pretty good job in Senua's Sacrifice. All right, so we've got Shadows of Rose coming out. That actually releases tomorrow on October 28th. So if you are a big Resident Evil Village fan, you can go check that out. And if you want to replay the base game in third person, go for it. I do think some scenes would be really interesting. Like, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but Josh, I know that you'll remember a pretty famous scene in the elevator.
Yeah.
I'd be really curious to see how Ethan like reacts to those things in third person. I think that'd be kind of neat.
Oh, that
to see.
Would be weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just know that if you do pick this game up tomorrow, this expansion, you have until November 8th to get all the way through it because that's when God of War Ragnarok drops and you're going to lose all interest in Resident Evil. That's all I have to say about that.
Considering Resident Evil was what, like a 8 to 10 hour game?
I was
going to
say, it was pretty
I'm sure
quick.
The expansion's short.
Yeah.
It says 4 hours for
you know,
the expansion.
The last thing on this, too, is we joke around about, you know, the developers announcing, and we'll talk about this, funny enough, in this episode, but announcing games like 4 years out, you know, but then it's like, I didn't know this expansion was coming out. Did you? And then it's like, hey, by the way, it's available very soon. It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, you could have told me.
Yeah, you really have to give Capcom credit here because Shadows of Rose comes out tomorrow. And also, they spent a lot of time highlighting the Resident Evil 4 remake, which is set to release on March 24th, 2023. So that we're only looking at 5 months out, which I think is not bad at all. And this remake looks absolutely legit, guys.
It looks
I hope you got a chance to
I
see the split
it.
Screen
I
Resident
did,
Evil
yep.
4 and the remake.
Yep.
Ooh, this looks really good, guys.
I will. We were talking about this before we started recording. I like a lot of the Resident Evil games. I know I've played 1, 2, and 3, and then I also played 7 and 8. I'll be honest, I think I lost the Resident Evil like urge somewhere in the middle. Watching this video, I don't think I've ever played Resident Evil 4. If I have, I remember nothing about it. And I'm watching these comparison of like the old game and the new game or the remake. And number one, the old one doesn't look that bad. I was actually kind of surprised. I don't know when that came out, but I was like, these graphics ain't that bad.
It's pretty old. I'd guess like 2004 or something.
Is it really? Well, those were some good graphics for the day then. But I don't know that I've ever played it. And I know that sounds goofy. So seeing this remake and what they've done with it, I'm pretty excited because like, but with Michael, with a lot of the games that are coming out, it's kind of like, wait, so I get to play a beloved game that's been modernized. So I get to jump in without knowing anything about this or how it was originally. That gets me kind of excited.
Yeah, I will play this, I believe, because the game did come out January 11th, 2005, but it looks like it has had a few reskins in the meantime. It looks like it's been remastered a couple times in the exact same game. So looking at it, I was like, yeah, the split screen does look pretty, like it looks miles better. But one part about the trailer had me dying and said, I have to play this game. There's a part where the character is like backing away from all these, what are they, zombies, I guess? Just infected people?
Yeah,
and he goes through this barn and I'm like, why is he shooting the oil lamp off the top of the barn, and he shoots this oil lamp and it falls down and this cow explodes in a burst of flames. Yeah. And he says, like, I'll pay for the damages later. And I'm like, yep, I'm playing this game. I'm playing this game.
Yeah, I think the coolest thing about this, you know, we're always talking about if it's a remake, they need to actually add something new and good to the game, not right. just to redo the graphics.
Agreed.
This, they have completely reprogrammed huge chunks of this game. They show right off the bat when you're playing as Ethan and you're walking through the forest. In the original game, there are some trees, but you can see the first house that you explore. You can see the second one in the distance. And in this remake, this is a very dense woods. Like, you can't see beyond 10 feet in front of you. They added fog. And then even when you go into the second building that you find, it's a completely different building. It is bigger. There are additional rooms. They have completely reprogrammed this stuff to make it bigger and better. Because a lot of these older games, especially if it's from like 05, like Resident Evil 4, they had such limitations on how big these games could be. If you're doing a remake, you gotta blow it out, whether it's Dead Space or this. And when you see it side by side, the graphical difference is incredible. The updated controls are very essential. Resident Evil 4, that's the only hard thing about playing it now, is that the controls are bananas, and they're actually adding more audio content. They're adding extra content into this game. It's going to be worth it because they are charging a full $60 for this one.
I mean, as long as it's not 70, like a lot of developers are trying to do now. I'm with you, Paul. This kind of reminds me, and this is a trend that I actually do like to see when it comes to remakes, is it does look like they're taking the Dead Space approach to where they're saying, listen, we're going to stay true to the base game. We're going to stay true to the story that everybody knows and loves, but we're going to enhance just about everything else. You know, they're making the environments much larger and more in-depth and stuff like atmospheric and stuff like that. I'm all for that so that you get that sense of scale and terror. Like, let's be honest, these are scary games. You know, you mentioned walking through the woods. They showed a lot of those segments. The woods look great. Like, this is what I imagine walking through dark woods would be like in a video game. So I like the fact that they're doing that. They also mentioned some quality of life stuff. Michael mentioned the shooting of the lantern. They showed this side by side in the original game, and like, you can chuck a grenade in the original and the cow just tips over dead. Whereas like this one, if you shoot the gas lantern and it falls, the cow catches on fire. It goes rampaging around the village because it's on fire, and it starts causing all kinds of chaos and stuff like that. So you're adding more than just a shiny coat of paint. You're improving quality of life stuff. You are improving interaction, the AI, like just the overall game at that point.
I think one of the biggest things about quality of life, now that you bring that up, has been announced, is the QuickTime events.
Yeah.
Y'all saw that, right? Where like they're saying, hey, apparently in Resident Evil 4, like you would sit down and, you know, when you have a cutscene, sometimes you put the controller down for a second, you wipe the sweat off your brow, maybe you get a drink real fast while you're watching the TV, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of a cutscene, there's a QuickTime event and you're not expecting it. Or I've heard this game was plagued with like really hard ones. The developers are saying there's like, if you want to take the definition of a QuickTime event, there are no QuickTime events in this game. And some people will call something else loosely a QuickTime event. They didn't get any details on it. And they said there might be a very few QuickTime events, which I think is awesome. I complained about that in the Trends for Gaming episode, gosh, months ago, about things that just need to go away. And it's like we played the game The Quarry, and it was like just everything you did was a QuickTime event. And I'm like, I don't like QuickTime events. And so taking that away, especially when everybody unanimously said that was a flaw of this game, is great. Like you said, quality of life, they're making the game better, they're bringing in new audiences, and the game looks great.
And then one minor correction. I think earlier I made reference to Ethan walking in Resident Evil 4. He is, of course, in the later Resident Evils. This is with Leon back in 4. The one thing I want to wait and see is what they do with the escort quests. Because you do have I think it's the president's daughter that's been kidnapped. And famously, she was kind of annoying and you had to escort her out of certain areas. So I'm curious to see if they remade that at all. Because I remember that being a frustrating part of the game. All right, well, I don't think there's much to say about the multiplayer mode, which, by the way, I don't know why they wouldn't just call it Reverse. That's always what we've called it, Josh. They kept calling it RE-verse. in the showcase, which seems really dumb.
It's because it's Resident Evil verse.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Like, I get the branding you're trying to do. This looked terrible to me. Like, we trolled Reverse when we did our deep dive of Village. And we said, dude, I don't know why they're making this. It's not going to be good. And then they showed off some footage. And I went, oh, okay, let's see what Reverse is going to be. And my only thought was, yep, we were right. This looks terrible. Yeah.
There's literally nothing to talk about here other than I loved the one character running around with garden shears. I was like, what on earth is this?
Why not?
I can't imagine running around with garden shears going against players with guns.
Just need to do a little pruning, Paul.
Oh, goodness. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, boys, we had another showcase this week. We had Konami highlighting Silent Hill. This went on for about half an hour. I have never played a Silent Hill game. I mentioned that just one or two episodes ago. I never saw the movie. I was actually kind of excited to watch this to learn a little bit more about Silent Hill. I will say that the game footage that we saw looked kind of neat, but these presenters took this showcase so seriously, guys. It felt like people talking at a funeral. Like, nobody was having fun at this showcase. It was like mandatory, solemnly talking about everything in this game. There were like one or two times someone tried to joke and there was just zero response from it all. It was kind of like watching a funeral for Silent Hill, which I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a horror game. Like, Silent Hill is revered. To be honest, like, I feel like Silent Hill, the series, was one of the best, like, horror series and really helped to catapult the genre. Maybe, or maybe it just was really popular during the Silent Hill times. I did play Silent Hill 1 and 2, and they are kind of revered. So I don't know if that's what they were going for in the showcase, to be like, let's be serious about Silent Hill, everybody. This is no laughing matter. Or if they just don't know how to do a presentation.
Is Silent Hill just all fog? Is that like really all it comes down to? Because everything I saw was nothing but fog.
It's the fog that it's kind of the calling card, I guess. Like if you showed me a screenshot of anything and it was super foggy and ominous, I would be like, oh, is that Silent Hill? Like it's kind of the thing right. that sets it apart in that regard. Like there is a lot of fog, but the entire game is not covered in fog.
It's just scarier when you do more jump scares. Yeah, there's more jump scares when fog is out. My overarching thoughts on the entire Silent Hill showcase is, what is worse when you're talking about future video games? The Skull and Bones approach, where you just have people talking about the game and you do not show anything from the game? Or when you announce 17? Nope, they just announced another one. It's 18 games now on the Silent Hill. it's 19 now that all come out 7 years from now. And we have no footage because we're taking the approach from CD Projekt Red and from Assassin's Creed, where we're just going to announce all the things that we're thinking about maybe making and throw together a 2-minute trailer with some text. But we have no content at all. Everything here is so far out. It's all very foggy. So that relates to what you were saying. We're foggy because we have no clue.
We did get information about the Silent Hill 2 remake, but you're absolutely right about everything else, Michael. They announced an upcoming game called Silent Hill Townfall, which they explained absolutely nothing about. They mentioned that they are
looks
making...
amazing, though.
It looks amazing. They, with all that footage they showed of it.
Yeah.
They talked about making a new Silent Hill movie, but it hasn't been cast. They don't know anything about this movie. And then they also talked about Silent Hill Ascension, which really confused me more than anything else, because they made reference to it being like some kind of community event. They did not explain it at all. And I started Googling it because I'm like, there's got to be more info out. And sure enough, I saw IGN was like, here are the actual details about Silent Hill Ascension that you were probably left wondering about after the showcase. Like, even they admitted it was very confusing. Let's talk a little bit about Silent Hill Ascension. Okay. Did you guys even look anything up about this? Do you have any idea what it is?
All I saw was the text messages that they were doing, and they're like, yeah, but can we save her? And no. I was like, is this like a choose your own adventure? Like, is this supposed to be like me texting you, Paul, texting Michael to say, hey guys, like,
we need to try to
got to watch the show so that that's what I was getting. But then that's just weird.
I'm going to read you my three bullet points verbatim that I wrote about Silent Hill Ascension in my little mini show doc here. First one, we really know nothing. Second, is this going to be like The Quarry? Like where we just, you know, like it's like a movie where we just make decisions. And then like, how much do your teammates do to affect this game? We know nothing. Like they're like, oh, it's a multiplayer interactive, blah, blah. But like all we're seeing is messaging. So what is this? I can say, though, that one really scary thing for me, being a super nerd in pop culture, is that I read that J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot is attached to this. And we all know that he did a fantastic job with the Star Wars sequels a few years ago and also with Star Trek. So this is really like, this is going to be great that he's attached to this.
Some of us like J.J. Abrams. He's entertaining.
He always lands the plane, right? Everyone loves the Lost finale.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So here's the thing. Michael, your instincts are pretty much on for all of that, because what Silent Hill Ascension actually is that it will be a one-time only stream, which will be actual Silent Hill canon. So this is like a very mini game. It'll be a choose-your-own-adventure movie, and watchers will vote for what to do choice-wise during the adventure. Characters can die. It'll be official moving forward for Silent Hill canon. This is something I have absolutely no desire to play. I could not care less. This is coming out next year in 2023.
I was going to say, if this is a one-time event, it is an event that I will never remember or
You won't be texting me at 2 a.m.?
Nope. We gotta save her, guys!
Can we save her?
I would just say that those who do attend this, because I won't, let me know how it is, first of all. Second of all, have fun with your lens flares.
Okay. Also, has nobody learned the lesson when you rely on the internet to do anything? Like when
they're gonna
troll. Right. It's like Bodie McBoatface is the name of a research vessel. You know, like if you're leaving this up to the public, man, like this is gonna be a disaster.
Yeah, it's gonna be, they're gonna have controlled responses, vote A or B, and it's all gonna be pre-approved by their writing staff.
They better.
But you can't leave it up to
these things
watchers.
Just don't do it for me. They really, I get it's like, hey, we're trying to try something different, but they don't do it for me at all.
We got STRKR69 steering the ship here.
Yeah, exactly. So what about the Silent Hill 2 remake? I think it looked good.
I am excited for this.
Is good news.
What's with all the, like, it's a good time to be a horror fan, and it's a good time to like have old horror games that were really good brought into
October,
like, you know, the 21st century and all that. And so it's kind of like, I'm for it. I'm excited about Dead Space. I'm excited about Silent Hill 2 remake. The Silent Hill games are great. I really, really enjoyed them. Now, I joked before we started recording that it's been so long since I've played Silent Hill. I don't remember nothing, man. All I remember is it's foggy and it's scary, you know, and that's it. And so it'll be kind of like I get to play it again for the first time.
Yeah, I have never played Silent Hill. I actually got into an argument in my work Slack video game channel with someone yesterday talking about this whole thing. And it was funny because he kind of called me out. I'm like, Silent Hill 1 and 2 are unplayable. I can't go back and play them now. And he's like, oh, you know, he called me some words. I forget what they were, but basically that I was just prejudiced against older video games and older graphics. I'm like, no, if you have not played this game, you can't play the first games. They're unplayable. If you played them and you want to go back for nostalgia, sure. So I'm very excited about the remake. It, The footage we've seen looks incredible, right? No, but it just looks... I'm just excited to actually play this game because I've always wanted to. In the last episode we recorded, I said I'd like to go back in time and tell myself to play the Silent Hill series from the beginning as they came out because you can't play them now, and now I can, so I will be playing this. I am very excited about this, and it's going to be way better than Ascension, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to play Fog Simulator 2023. it does look neat. It will be exclusive to PS5 for a full year, and then it'll be available on PC and other consoles. So you do get a little bit of an early access there with the PlayStation. I'm guessing that they're starting with Silent Hill 2 first because Silent Hill 1 was on the original PlayStation, and I'm guessing it's just so old, it's like, you can't really remake it for today.
Could be.
Maybe it's too short. Maybe the code is too old. I don't know. But Silent Hill 2 will be the first remake. I will say, after watching it, I did immediately look up like the cost of Silent Hill 2, and I kind of just wanted to buy it now. So I'm going to try to wait, but I do hope to play this remake.
Yeah, I'm excited for the remake for sure. I think they're going with two because it's better than one. Like one, there is some debate between people is one or two better, but pretty unanimously, people consider two to be the better one of the two. And so if they're going to do a remake, that's the one that makes a lot of sense. And you don't really necessarily need to have a ton of info from one to be able to play it.
Yeah, it's head on, probably like spot on. If it's easier to remake because it's less aged and more people liked it, it's probably easier to make, and it'll sell better.
So, shockingly, I looked up on Metacritic, the Silent Hills, and I was thinking, if they're going to remake 2 first, I bet it's like rated by far the highest. They're all rated really high. On Metacritic, the first Silent Hill is an 86, the second one is an 89, the third one is an 85. Like, these are all rated pretty good, and the user reviews are all in the high 8s. They're all like 8.5, 8.8, 8.7. People seem to like the whole series, or at least the first few releases. I know that over time, like Homecoming, I know was not nearly as popular, but seems like the first few are really good.
Well, it's a beloved series, and at the time, it was really good. Like, it was things that people hadn't seen before. They're just creepy, man. You know, this is not your Outcast games where it's a whole bunch of like corpses and upside down crosses and like demonic stuff like that. Like, the Silent Hill games are just freaky. Like, they do a very, very good job of just really creeping you out versus being like very in your face with like the horror elements. And so I think that's what helps them stand apart in that regard. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was the big thing. Like, everybody has been clamoring for a continuation of Silent Hill. Do you guys remember the PT, the initials, like the PT thing? It had Norman Reedus was going to be playing it, and then that got canceled. And there's been a lot of people that wanted this series to kind of be brought forward into the, you know, 2020s and stuff like that. And a lot of that has fallen through. So I think this is a good way to make that transition and get it back into the limelight. And then if it's successful, maybe we'll see more continuing games from that.
Interesting. Well, I'm really glad Michael and I will finally have a chance to play Silent Hill being modern. I'm really looking forward to it. I actually am. It also kind of made me want to check out the movie, even though I know it's not as good as the games. But Michael's shaking his head. Maybe I'll stay away.
Yeah, no, right. No interest.
Fair enough. All right. Well, that's all that we are going to cover here for this episode for this week in gaming. Michael, was there something in here that you wanted to cover last minute? You looked disappointed.
Michael had a look of shock that we were ending the episode.
I thought for sure we were going to cover Silent Hill F because that was what I'm most excited about.
The trailer of F.
Keep talking. Yeah, right. I'm gonna keep going. Hold on. It's 1960s just Japan Silent Hill game. The thing about it is it's possibly the creepiest trailer I've ever seen because it has this mix of beautiful colors and it's so pleasant, but then you have this underlying feeling of complete dread as like these limbs are floating down a river and this girl at the end, her hair starts glowing, these flowers and this fungus and stuff. She looks beautiful. Then her friggin' face slides off. I was like, this is really exciting looking. And I just wanted to get my piece out on that. Now we can end the show.
The only thing I wrote in my notes was Silent Hill F, more like WTF, what is this? Because I'm like, who titles a game Silent Hill F with a lowercase f? This does not make any sense to me. Is it supposed to be, like, be an F for, like, feudal Japan? No, it's not even feudal Japan. It's they said it was 1960s.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't get Silent Hill flowers? Because there was a lot of flowers in this trailer. I'm with Michael.
Maybe.
It tells us nothing about the game, but man, that thing was freaky.
It sets an atmosphere. That's all it does. Yeah.
And if the atmosphere of the game is anything like that, holy cow, this could be something.
Yeah.
Well, I give them an F for naming this one because Silent Hill is a terrible name.
Goodness, I am a gracious. Little. I'm going to call this right now just so we have it on record. But the F is very similar to the F that they use in photography for an F-stop. It's almost the same font as well. So I really, really hope that this is not another horror photography game.
We've had a few of those. Martha is Dead, and what was the other photography game?
Oh, it was the Polaroid one with the kid shaking like a Polaroid picture.
There you go. Get your Outcast on. Yeah, I don't remember what the other one was called, but yeah, I don't think that'll be based around photography, but who knows? We'll have to wait and see. All right, so we're all done, and then we'll be back with our quick take on Saturday. And then what do we have coming up on Monday, guys? Is that a
Monday
bonus?
Is going to be
Devour.
Is it Devour? No, Devour releases on Halloween. So yes, yeah, it'll be Devour.
Yep, it'll be a Devour. So we'll have our deep dive on Devour. Can't wait to break that down for you guys here on Halloween. And until we see you guys on Saturday, happy gaming, everybody. We'll see you all next time.
Cheers, all.
All right, bye, everybody.